Well, good morning, everyone. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 4 is where we're going to be today. And we've got an awesome little prayer stuck in the middle here of Moses commanding obedience to the statutes and the judgments. And in verse 7 it says, "For what great nation is there that has God so near to it?" So that's kind of the thing that's stuck in my mind this morning, near to the heart of God, really, or nearer, my God, to thee. And just two questions as we get started. How near is your God to you? The second question, how near are you to God? And I pray that as we see the magnificent instruction to the nation of Israel here, how it has direct application to you and to me today. God is so perfect in His Word. And this is the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament, which is the same God. So it's all the same. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for letting us know and telling us over and over that you're near to us and that we are near to you, Lord, if only we will set aside all the distractions, all of the busyness, all of those huge, huge, huge mountainous problems we think we have when we recognize that we really aren't, none of those have anything to do with changing what you've done for us on Calvary, and that we have that awesome, unchangeable promise of eternal life. So Lord, be with us this morning and help us to be thankful for your nearness to us, in Jesus' name. Well, let's sing "Nearer, My God, to thee." The words are up on top. Last chapter we had Moses being told that he would not be able to go into the promised land because he had misrepresented God and struck the rock the second time when he was to speak to it. And in verse 28 of chapter 3, the Lord said, "Now command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go in before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see." And we mentioned last week, you know, if you had been told that, and that's the thing that you were longing for more than anything in your life, and in a sense, you're not going to be able to do it. you would kind of maybe started to pout and say, well, I'm out of here. But no, that wasn't the case with Moses. He is going to steadfastly continue in delivering the message to Israel, this nation in formation. This is a new generation. They're about to go into the promised land. They have finished the 40-year wilderness march Israel has. All the older people over 20 years old when they left Egypt have died. And now this is a new generation. He's trying to give them the last minute, or so to speak, instructions, and the whole book of Deuteronomy is that. But here we have him beginning, in a sense, this sermon, or continuing on. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live. So we see over and over again a very simple message. God says, obey and live. Obey and be blessed. Disobey and die. Disobey and be cursed. And there's even another double action there, in a sense, because in another place, he will say, those who obey me, I will bless them, and I will curse your enemies, or bring curses on your enemies. And those who disobey me, I will curse you and bring blessing on your enemies. So what do you choose? Do you choose obedience, or do you choose disobedience? Well, all Israel said, oh, we'll do everything that you tell us to. We'll do everything. And that's what we do, don't we? We say, oh, yeah, Lord, count me in. I'm in on that obedience side. But then the flesh comes along and wants to do the opposite, doesn't it? Wants to eat of the forbidden fruit, even as Adam and Eve did in the garden and brought sin into the world, death through sin. Now, verse 2 is a very familiar statement here. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it. And you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And if you go to the very last chapter in the book, Revelation chapter 22, we're told exactly the same thing. So be careful when you want to find out more than what the Bible tells you, and you buy a bunch of books and they all give you their opinion and all this other stuff, and you start to buy into any of that, because if it's not from the Lord, it's not trustworthy. And if he wanted you to know more than is in this book, he would have told you. So are you satisfied with what he's told you? I mean, 1,189 chapters? You want more than that? And yet we want to do a little bit more. But he says, don't add to it. Don't take away from it. And now he reminds them that disobedience brings death. He says, your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. That was that Balaam thing. For the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal at Peor. So he's reminding them where obedience brings blessing, and he's reminding them where disobedience brings death. But now to those who held fast in verse 4, but you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. If you're obedient to the Lord, he's not going to drop you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you, every one of you. Verse 5, surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Now these next three verses here are really the keys for this morning study. Therefore, be careful to observe. We've got observe three times in this chapter. Observe means to do or to lean toward doing when you hear something or read something. Therefore, be careful to observe them for what? This is your wisdom and your understanding. How many of you want wisdom and understanding? Everybody. Where do you get it? Encyclopedia Britannica, right? Google. Google's got all the answers, right? Well, that's true. They have a lot of wisdom. They have a lot of knowledge, but there's no wisdom. There's no wisdom. And all the cloning computers and all that other stuff that you read about, that they're going to overtake man and all this, don't buy into that. They may be able to give you more knowledge than a human brain, but they're not going to be able to give you the spiritual insight that God put in your spirit and mind. That's at least my opinion. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in sight of the people who hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation, we got great nation three times in here in today's study, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Why? It's because of the statutes and the judgments. It's because of God's word. And the same thing applies to you and to me today. If you live by the word of God, you will have wisdom and understanding. If you don't, you won't. Verse 7, for what great nation is there that has God so near to it? Now, particularly at that time with all the false gods, this is just a huge thing because every false god is far away from the nation. You know, they're trying to find him today. All religions other than that centered on Jesus Christ are far away from God and they can't get closer to him because the chasm is infinite. There's no way that finite man can reach an infinite God. There's no way. So we can say as well, how blessed we are that we have a God so near to us, right? Who asks us to come near to him, who invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God, as Yahweh our Elohim is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? And isn't that true? Have you ever called on God and God says, I don't want to hear from you, or you know, that's too small a problem, or that's too big a problem? No, it's not going to happen. Verse 8, and what great nation, third time, great nation, is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you today? So you see, the word of God is the key. And we're very fortunate in this nation that the word of God had a pretty important part in its founding. Certainly the Judeo-Christian ethics had a very important part. But you see, as we turn away from it, the result is just chaos. The result is death. And when you take that all the way up to or down to our individual lives, it's the same thing. If we're following him, we're going to live on the highest level. If we're not following him, we're going to live on a lower level. And if we don't follow him at the time we take our last breath, we're, you know, this, you can rest assured this is the best it's going to be. It's all downhill from here, worse. And the opposite is true. For his children, this is as bad as it's ever going to get. So we see here then that we are told over and over again in the Old Testament of God's nearness to us. On the second side of your notes, I think there are about 10, 15 verses there that I wish we had time to read them all because they're such a blessing if you just read those in a meditative attitude just to see how close God is to you. And it'll just, I mean, the word is so pure. When you go through those and others in the Bible, it just gives you such a cleansed, pure feeling and you just sense his awesomeness and his purity. So in summary, the obedience to God always leads to blessing and leads to the cursing of your enemies. Conversely, disobedience always leads to your cursings and the blessings of your enemies. And in these three verses here, I think we were shown three things. First, the Israelites would know how to apply God's knowledge so as to have discernment and to be able to judge matters correctly. Secondly, faithfulness to the Lord would allow others, in this case nations, to see that the Lord has established intimacy with Israel. And in that particular statement, I'd like to have you put your own words in there that others would be able to see in me that intimacy with God and see that difference, the same as he had set it out for the nation of Israel. And thirdly, others would see that Israel's law was distinctive, for its source was the Lord, indicating that his character was righteous. And again, that is a direct application for you and for me as we walk in the way the Lord has for us. All would see that it's distinctive because it's pure and it's awesome. So how near is God to us and how near are we to him? A couple of verses there that you know well, John 14:23, great verse. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Now, is that a promise of infinite, awesome, almighty God or what? That if you're true to him, he will make his home in you? You show me something that's more powerful than that, and I would be amazed. Also, Paul repeats the Deuteronomy verse here, originally Deuteronomy 30:14, but the word is very near in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. And when Paul is talking about Israel in Romans 10, verse 8, he repeated that. He says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. So that is the word of faith which we preach. So God and His word is as near as your mouth and in your heart. You don't have to go to a guru in India to find God. You don't even have to go up on a mountaintop to find God or go down in the cellar to find God. God is as near to you as your heart and your mouth. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity to pray, to communicate directly with you. Thank you for the way of access that the veil has been torn by your flesh, Lord. And we can come directly to the throne of grace. So here we are, Lord, the last Saturday in this year, but nothing will change after the calendar turns to the next year. You will not change. And our nature actually will not change from the calendar. It can only be changed by adhering to you and to your word. So lead us now as we pray for the nation, as we pray for our church, we pray for the churches around the world, as we pray for those that you would put on our hearts, little ones, big ones, small ones, old ones, whatever, Lord. Kings and those in authority, lead us now in this time of prayer in Jesus' name.